Am I on? Sound good? Brilliant. Okay. Wow. Who was here last year? Okay, cool. So you remember this was the first slide last year. You've got to be really honest and say, are you still asking that question? Or is it just me? Because many days I do wake up, you know, what is going on here? So just tell you a little bit about what's happened since. Anybody remember I said I was looking for a puppy? And then somebody actually put their hand up and said, oh, I think I've got one. And then they never came and saw me afterwards. So I was really quite, well, I won't hold it against them because I didn't even get to meet them properly. But have we got a little infrared thing on this, or the red button? Yeah, okay. So that there is Molly, and this is Rosie. And the caption for this Instagram was, we're going to need a bigger boot. And what I'm about to show you is that Molly here on the left, we drove all the way to Newcastle, can you believe that? Back in one day, 700 miles for... We thought one puppy, but she said, the owner said, you know, if you buy one, I would really like them to stay together so you could have the other one for free. So the moral of the story is never buy a puppy from Newcastle. Partly because what you're about to see, Molly here actually thinks that she's not really a dog. It's just a short clip. What you don't know, that was my son calling his puppy saying, Molly! And she just goes, Molly, where are you? Yeah. So, yeah, the bad news is that when she's in the garden, she has to be tied to a rope because otherwise she goes over four gardens and she's in the road and all hell breaks loose. So, the session this morning, this afternoon even, good afternoon, is reasons for coaching 1, 2, 3. Does that ring a bell with anybody? Any Ian Dury and the Blockhead rememberers here? Give away your age. It's not quite as good as hit me with your rhythm stick, but I won't sing anymore. In fact, Matt's probably going to ask me to sing when he really does want the building emptied. In about an hour and 5 minutes or something. So, I'm going to go through, in a bit of a whistle-stop fashion, really, to be honest, what benefits and genuine value can coaching add to you and your business. And hopefully it will debunk some myths, inspire you to maybe think about doing something about it, and just generally should be some good fun as well. So, first thing, one of my top priorities with my clients is I say to them, I want to motivate you to maximize your time on the earth. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is one of my favorite all-time quotes actually kind of got me thinking in this way a couple of years ago. Anybody heard of Howard Thurman? No, poor Howard. No one remembers him at all. Anyone heard of Martin Luther King? Okay, you'd be embarrassed, wouldn't you, if you hadn't. Howard Thurman is like a predecessor to Martin Luther King. He was a very active civil rights campaigner in the early 20th century North America. And he said this, he said, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive. Because the world needs people who have come alive. And I think we touched on this earlier. Somebody was mentioning how, you know, when you start your business, you know, how do you kind of align that with certain things? And for me, the answer is very simple. You know, find out what it is that you love. Find out what it is that actually gets you up in the morning, that gets you going, that, you know, and invariably that would be something that you're very good at. And if you're very fortunate, it's something you can actually charge quite a lot of money for. And so, you know, if it's not something you can do that with, then maybe a hobby. But, you know, what I'm about a lot is finding that thing with you so that you can actually live a much more fruitful, satisfying life. We all like the sound of that, yeah? We don't just want to be that. For me, my theory is that's why so many customer service places are just really anything but that, because they're run by people who just do not want to be there. And that's really quite sad when you think about that on a global basis. What else? A friend of mine says, I want to inspire before I expire, but in a much more southern drawl accent. You should check him out. He's quite an eccentric character, to say the least. Okay. I believe that really good coaching will actually show you the best way to develop leadership in others. Now, again, why do I say that? Well, I say that because a lot of leadership actually is about me telling someone to do something, isn't it? You go off and do that and tell me when you've done it and I'll tick a report and that's great. But actually, coaching teaches people to really get the best out of others and not just, as this guy says, create more followers, but the best kind of leadership is creating more leaders. And you do that when you actually come alongside someone and say you've got a small team of people in your small business and you've got Johnny. And instead of just telling Johnny to go off and do what you want him to do, or for the next month focus on this, actually sit him down for 5 minutes even and just say, so tell me, Johnny, we don't really get a lot of time together, but I'd really love it if you could tell me what is the most enjoyable part about your role in this company. You watch his face just light up and he'll be like, wow, he's actually asking me. And then you'll actually easily be able to motivate him to really go off and do something very worthwhile and valuable, because he's feeling like a stakeholder now. You've actually expressed some interest. And so, moreover, you'll actually develop some leadership out of him. He may well make a mistake. I actually did a seminar with a head teacher and her senior leadership team in a secondary school in Shoreham. And I think you know the one, Matt. And basically, the subject was, they wanted to look at how to use coaching methods to develop leadership in others. And there was a bit of a debate going on at one point, because some people in her team were like, yeah, but what if they make a huge mistake and it's going to create damage here and we'll have to recover that? But she actually had the foresight, the head teacher, to say that, well, actually, though, we can factor that in, we can mitigate against it, we can actually protect that person. But if we allow someone to fall forwards, they're going to learn so much more, and they will actually become a better leader, rather than just being, you know, someone who just runs here and there. So there's a great secret in leadership development there. One of the things that I do, and we've kind of hinted at this, and it's becoming a bit of a speciality, is help people, enable them to create a better, healthy work-life balance. And why do I know that this is actually something that a lot of people need? Well, quickly scan that and you'll see. Work is now the biggest factor driving us, maybe not all of us, but a lot of people, to drink, drugs, and depression. More than a third of people say their job is the most stressful part of their lives. There's all sorts of stuff going on. The one that really resonates with me is 60% drink alcohol after work in order to cope, 14% drink during the day for the sake of... That's not my confession. I'm just saying that, that whenever I'm in London, I don't know about you, who goes to London every now and then or goes there every day? Okay, a handful of people. Well, I might just slip into the pub quickly for a lemonade and a sandwich. And actually, I am staggered by the amount of people that are in there. And I'm just watching. I'm thinking, that must be their third or fourth round. And they're obviously familiar with the stuff. So they come here every day. And I'm thinking, what on earth do they do? Oh, I know. They are professional tasters for Stella Artois. No, they're actually the pension fund managers and the hedge fund managers. And maybe that's why so much stuff went wrong. You know, because if they're not totally stressed out of their head, you know, they're barely keeping their eyes open because they've just had five pints or whatever. I mean, it really is quite scary. Okay, you see the others there. And anybody who wants to have this presentation, just let me know and I can send it over to you. Okay, I'm successful, but I have a problem. Now, this is what somebody said to me when he came to me about 18 months ago. And this guy is in his late 30s, a director of a big global corporation. Called Johnson & Johnson. So we've all heard of that. And I gave him half an hour or so on the phone just as a consultation, just to see if we could do anything. And this is what he said. And I said, well, that sounds pretty successful to me. He said, well, yeah, but the problem is, in about 5 months, my wife and I are going to have our first baby. And I was like, okay, that's still good. And he said, yeah, but I know I need to make some massive shifts. Otherwise, I'm just going to be the thing that I really dread, is an absent father. So I said, okay, look, the fact that you're even talking to me about this says to me that you know, there's something to be done. A lot of guys I know would wake up in 5 years' time and go, what is that noise? One, two, three, how many kids have I got here? They'd just be like, because they're never there. And when they are there, they're looking at the laptop, you know, and that really resonated with him. And amazingly, within that first 5 months, he was in a place where he could actually get his team to run everything so that he could go on paternity leave, not have to pick up the phone, not have to watch the BlackBerry. You know, one of the things that was really bugging him was when that red light started flashing, he was like, oh, I've got to really, you know, do something about that. And 18 months later, we're still working together. And amazingly, we're now actually coaching his leadership team and the people in those leaders' teams. Are you with me? So that's what I love doing, is actually helping people get this kind of adjustment going. And success, as a lot of us know, is not necessarily just measured by how much money's in the bank. It's no good having loads of money if you're going to burn out by the time you're 40 and be dead by the time you're 50. Okay, so again, good coaching will inspire you to work smart, not just hard. Now, we all know, don't we, there's a lot of people out there, even in this very city, that work really hard, 2 or 3 day jobs, juggling all over the place, but they don't get a great deal of reward. There's 27 million slaves in the world today. And a lot of those, if not the majority, are in the sex trade. So they really don't get paid anything. So it's not about just working smart, is it? Hard. It's about working smart. Now, a lot of people in those situations can't do anything about that. They just have to, you know, tunnel on through. But for those of us who are in our own business situation, or you've got some responsibility within a bigger company, you can actually make some adjustments. The idea is to start working smart. So one of the things I love doing with my clients is I say, look, I'm going to get you in the helicopter. Hands up if you've been in a helicopter. Right, about half the room. I've not. It's on my bucket list. I hope really it's not the last thing on my bucket list. But this situation here is, this is a whirlpool here. And we're talking the Inga Rapids. So if you want to find out more, go into ingarapidsproject.com. And I first heard about this on Discovery Channel about a year ago. But for a good year before that, I used to meet very regularly with another leader of an organization. And I'd be always saying to him, you need to just get more of a helicopter perspective. Because he was always firefighting, thinking about who could do what, who isn't doing what they should do, and blah, blah, blah. And we'd spend 2 hours in Starbucks just going over the same stuff. And I said, you've got to take time out. So now what I do with my clients, say, like, okay, let's have a 3-hour session, maybe once a month or every other month or whatever. And what we'll actually do is look at your whole life and start to, you know, take stuff out that needs to be taken out and go away with a plan. Now, this was resonated and confirmed for me because these guys here, let me tell you a little bit of story. The last time a team of kayakers tried to navigate their way through this Congo River in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Inga Rapids, they all died, sorry to say. 1985, led by a French celebrity adventurer, Bear Grylls type equivalent, and they all presumably got sucked into one of these, never seen again. So this team from the States come along a couple of years ago, 2011, and I'm watching this documentary absolutely riveted, thinking, wow, now I know why I'd never get in a kayak. And these guys absolutely love it. And two of them had already got sucked into this whirlpool. Now, miraculously, somehow, and they've got this GoPro on their head, and you're thinking, what is going on here? Paddle their way out. And they're just thinking, this is too dangerous. We can't do anything. But this is what they said, and this so resonates. What looked impossible from the surface water level, from the bank side, suddenly looks very doable from above. They hired that helicopter, and they saw there was a little weaving pathway, as it were, that could actually get rid of the whirlpool factor. And for me, that's what works. It's very, very powerful. You take time out, whether you do it on your own, some people can do that, but there wouldn't be a coaching industry if it was very powerful to do it on your own. You always need that objectivity. So I say to my people, I say, look, okay, so what is going well with your business? Let's talk about business for a start. And he said, well, okay, everything's coming in great, but we're losing too many clients, for example. Okay, so what's not going so well here? Who's responsible for that? What's going on with the business development or the key account management or whatever it may be? And it's only when you take that time, you don't have to look at the carpet, but you know, you just think about the vantage point that's different from can't see the wood for the trees. You get that, yeah? Okay, I am rifling through this stuff because I don't want to be, I don't want this to be the last time I'm ever here because I'm so late. A lot of my clients start to perfect the lost art of listening. There's actually a book called The Lost Art of Listening. Fantastic book. What do I mean by my client? Because I'm supposed to be the one who's the expert listener. Because we all know, don't we, really, deep down in our hearts, that God has given us 2 ears and 1 mouth. And I'll elaborate on that in a minute. But the way that some of my clients get to do this is because I was explaining to someone earlier. Take this Johnson & Johnson guy. He's had total transformation in 18 months. And about 6 months ago, so he's about a year in, we're starting to think now, how can we actually roll this out? So he's got his leadership team. So he sits down with them once a week or once a month as a conference call. He's got a guy in Sweden, a guy in Ireland, and a right-hand guy in the UK. And instead of just saying, okay, guys, this is what I want you to do, let's go do it, yeah, rah, 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 he's actually asking them questions. And that necessitates real listening. So what we're doing now is we're actually exporting the coaching and creating a coaching culture within this organization. And the results are phenomenal. Because not only is he, remember, developing the leadership in his people more than he would ever do in any other way, but he's actually generating great relationships, he's generating results, and guess what? He himself is far more effective. He's actually able to, do you know what, actually focus on the things that his boss says he wants him to do, like what are the next companies to buy, rather than giving somebody a job and then actually, you know, looking over their shoulder, oh yeah, they're still doing it right. Just let them do it. That's what they're paid for. You're paid to look at the helicopter view. Okay. So overall, good coaching will help you to become a better person in almost every area, certainly in your relationships. Because if you start to actually get this stuff and start to listen to your wife, I'm sure she would be really pleased, and listen to your husband, whatever. Wives more than husbands, I'm sure, will be more pleased. Then it brings enormous value. And helps you go on and do life better. So what is coaching not? It is not telling people what to do. I think you've got that by now. It's not advising them even. That might come into it every now and then. One aspect of my coaching is resource. So if I've had a session and I say, look, I've just remembered an article I read. I'll send you the link for that, and that's really going to help you. That's about as far as I go. Because the number one rule in coaching is the coachee does all the work. That's it. And that's the power of it, because you know then you hold them to account and then they move forwards. It's not pastoral care. It's not counseling, because that's past tense. Somebody said to me, it's just like counseling. And I said, no. Counseling's about, I'm here today because of what happened to me in the past, yeah? Whereas coaching is much more future-focused but rooted in the present reality. So, you know, I think this is where I am, but this is actually where I want to get to. And I've left mentoring last because that is the thing that most people get mixed up with. So if I can have a volunteer, Daniel, why don't you step up here just for a second? And so I'm so glad, Daniel, that you've decided to invest a huge amount of money in me as a mentor. Just hats off. In fact, I don't know why. But all you need to do is remember this. Every time we meet, and everything's going to be great. And this is it. You don't even have to write it down. I'm just going to tell you. This is the sentence. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Do everything I tell you, and you will succeed. Okay? Now stay there. So Daniel does all that. That's brilliant. Maybe he doesn't even succeed. So, you know, he'll ask for his money back or whatever. But non-refundable. The fact is, even if he does succeed, I guarantee in the back of his mind he's going to be thinking, okay, this is great, everything's taken off. But really, it's only because that amazing mentor, Paul, told me everything to do, you know, how to do it. Now, people do that. They buy franchises and they succeed. And as long as you do everything that the franchisor says, you should succeed, right? That's why franchising is a great way to start a business. But contrast that with this. So this is what it is. So Daniel, tell me a little bit about your business.
I do like IT stuff and want to present like a friendly,
okay. That sounds
face to it.
That sounds really good. Sorry, I'm interrupting because I'm compressing a real life session. Okay, one question. Where do you want your business to be in, say, 1 or even 5 years?
I want it to have like branches in Brighton, London, a few other towns.
Okay, brilliant. And what kind of impact do you want it to make, and moreover your life to make, you know, out there in the real world?
I want to make business pleasurable and people to enjoy what they're doing and not have to think about the technology behind what they do.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Can you see the difference? The difference is that by giving him the opportunity to actually verbalize what he really wants to do and what he really wants to see, he's going to own that. He's an immediate stakeholder. He's obviously a stakeholder anyway, but we're now really cementing that because I'm just drawing out. I'm not interested in what I've got to say about it, because after that, I'll just say, okay, so what steps do you need to take, do you think? You know, what's the first thing that you need to do? What's going well? What's not going well? All sorts of endless questions. So it is asking good questions. It's listening. It's understanding sometimes more what the person is not saying than what they actually are saying. I've been in situations where some people call it iceberg coaching. But really what we're talking about here is somebody actually is alluding to something, but they're not really kind of got the situation in hand to want to talk about it. So if I feel that that's actually going to help them to talk about it, I had a situation with a guy a couple of years ago or so, and I knew the situation very well because I was partly involved in it. But I said to him, so tell me, how did that make you feel? And before he could say anything, you know, he started to well up a bit. And that wasn't a tactic of mine. I didn't want to slip into counseling mode or anything. It's simply because I felt that he needed to actually acknowledge that there had been some damage. And then he could actually move on. You with me? So damage, acknowledge. I'm not going to go back and fester on that. But damage, acknowledge. I'm going to move on. And I'm actually going to be whole for it. I'm going to be able to adjust and move on. So obviously, encouraging and supporting are other fundamentals there that go without saying. What else? So, who can do it? Well, you'd expect me to say, I'm sure, that you've first of all got to have at least an MBA, preferably another degree in psychology, human relations, masters, a doctorate would be really good because then you could really charge a lot of money. And obviously, there's a whole host of coaching federation accreditations out there, which, you know, really are prerequisites. I've got one coaching accreditation and not much else. And so the answer is anyone can do it. And the reason is because it's actually a mindset more than a skill set. It really is. It's something that you have to get into learning and be prepared to learn. You know, I can get my toolkit out of different coaching approaches and stuff like that. But the truth is that actually it's my mindset. And I say that because listening to someone is counterintuitive. Hands up, if you've ever been to a party and you meet somebody, let's say, let's call him Johnny, in the kitchen, and maybe you came on your own, or maybe your partner is in another room or whatever, you don't see that person for the whole night because you're talking to Johnny. And you come home, and let's say your wife says to you in the car, so, yeah, where were you the whole night? Yeah, I was talking to this amazing guy, Johnny. He's just fantastic. And she says, really? What about him? You know, what did you find out? And and you go, his name's Johnny without an H. Amazing. I can't actually remember anything else. And the reason is because he didn't say anything else. Because we actually love the sound of our own voice, don't we? Let's be honest. And so it's counterintuitive. You have to make a decision to actually step back from waxing lyrical about your wonderful life. And you know, that's part of the secret. How do I know this? Because, you know, if we don't make a conscious decision to listen genuinely to someone, we all fit into one of five, sometimes more than one, of five different listener profiles. Very briefly, the fixer. Most husbands are guilty of this. You know, wife, you meet, see her at the end of the day, she tells you your situation, you go, oh, what you should have done. She doesn't care about that. She even knows the fix already. She just wants to know that she's been heard, and that is the truth for everyone. We all want to know, not just be heard, but know that we've been heard. Then there's the hurry-upper, obvious. The juggler. You know, I'm doing too many things at once here. I'm actually trying to write an email, and I'm listening to my person, and I'm watching my baby there, and I'm trying to listen to the rest. You know, it's all watered down. Then you've got the rehearser. So as soon as you've said maybe the first 10 words of your situation, they wade in with their story of great heroics and how they overcame a situation just like that. But by the time they finish their story, neither of you remember why they're even mentioning it. So it's just an automatic gush, you know, like that Inga Rapids just comes flying out of them. And then you've got the worst culprit of all, the pretender. So we've all heard, you know, the lights are on, but it's just not happening. They're just really not interested actually at all. So they might as well just, you know, say it for what it is. So it all takes practice. And you'd expect me to say, wouldn't you, that everyone should experience some kind of professional coaching at some stage. Why do I say it? Because I really am. I've seen it with my own eyes, whether it's a corporate director or a new startup, or one of my clients now. I've got a young, he's just turned 20, he's a magician, he's going to be very famous. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I say his name, Max Kurd. Look him up. He's got all kinds of amazing endorsements from people that he's actually done some magic for. And what am I doing with him? I'm not telling him how to do his magic, because, you know, he's just in another league. But I'm helping him just kind of hopefully make some good decisions about which way he's going to go with it. And that's a joy. I love that. So young guys just beginning to make their mark on the world, especially entrepreneurs and all sorts of people in between. So did you know that of people who consciously decide to set a goal, 1 in 4 achieve that? I'm going to really rifle through this now. People who decide when they will do it goes up to 40%. People who plan, so you're getting a bit of accountability and an idea there, 50%. Next step, yeah, a bit of accountability, 65%. But of the people who have all of that and they have a specific accountability appointment, in other words, a coaching session, once a week, once a month, whatever, 95% achieve their goal. And I didn't actually make that up. That came with my training. So why not have a go right now? So we are going to have a very, very quick, rapid fire, break into twos, and I'm going to give you one question to ask. Decide now, start moving now, like just the person next to you, just turn to the next person. You don't have to actually move out your seats, hopefully. Just turn to the next person and say, okay, I'll be the coach. And the coach doesn't mean I'll be the boss, all right? I'll be the coach, so you are going to ask this one question. Yeah, we'll skip that. What one thing would make all the difference? Now, it could be about your business, could be your personal life. You don't have to get emotional about it. Let's not say win the lottery or sell my business for 10 million. Or let's be practical and something that's realistic, yeah? Smart goal almost. And 1 minute, and then I'm going to tell you to swap, and then we're done. And then I'll have some quick feedback. Okay? Okay. If you can bring that to a close, as they say, feel free to pick it up another time. Quick bit of feedback. Anyone, how did that feel? Has anyone done anything like that before? Yeah. Okay, we're not interested in you then? No. Any feedback, I don't care whether you've done it before or not. How did that feel, just doing that? Yes. That's very good. That's the idea. No. Obviously, yeah, but even just, what did people feel when they actually even heard that question aimed at them? Yes, go. Okay. Why?
Because you actually get to talk about the things that are in your mind and you've got to ask both of them.
Absolutely. Really, that's the key. I mean, how many of us get, let's say a 1 hour session is a typical session. How many of you get that even once a month? I think anyone who's married will know that they get that when they're just getting ready to sleep and they're in bed and their wife's next to them. But before 5 minutes, she's asleep. So you're not really getting that time to talk about yourself anyway. So anybody else? Okay. Okay, brilliant. Anybody else? Yes. And what does that feel like for you? Okay. I'm sure it's not. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I think you could almost argue in some ways that with the demise of so many pubs, you know, there's just not that culture anymore. So people don't have that kind of, you know, well, this is what's on my chest. Okay, thanks for that. So, right, we're just coming into land now. So what impact could coaching have on you right now and your business? I want you to think just for a second. Now, this is one of my idyllic kind of images, I suppose, Indian Ocean. Think about where you want to get to one day. And if it helps, just close your eyes just for a few seconds and just think about, maybe we'll call this place the Isle of Full Potential. And this is the place where Van Morrison says in like one of my favorite songs, Days Like This, you know, like the flick of a switch, everything falls into place. And really, the truth is, it never happens with a flick of a switch. It's the culmination, isn't it, of years and years of work, some ups and maybe a lot of downs, a lot of desert wandering, a lot of mountain climbing and valley walking and all the rest of it. But actually now you finally got to this place where finally you can afford, both financially and time-wise, to maybe do some of the stuff that you've never been able to. Maybe even help some other people. You've sold your business or you've retired on a good pension or whatever it is, you're in that place now where actually it's all been worth it. And now what I want you to do is contrast that, and there's all sorts of ages here, a lot of younger people, contrast that with your present reality. What is the present reality? Let's call that the Isle of Here and Now. So I want to ask you, how will you make the journey from now to the Isle of Full Potential? What's the distance in time? You know, what's the distance in years? What's the difference in the scenery? And what I would suggest is that a good coach becomes your local transporter, becomes that person where you say, on the boat, let's go back to the boat shop, you say where you want to go, and he says, okay, there's the guy there. I think that's a rudder, isn't it? And you say, look, I want to go to the other island there because they've got McDonald's or they've got something else that they haven't got on this one. And he says, okay, that's fine. He doesn't even have to have been to that place, but he knows that the boat will get you there. And you're in charge, really. So he gets you there without telling you anything at all. He's not your mentor. And so a coach is a little bit like that, if you like. So he gets you from where you are and helps you to start visualizing and make plans and goals and steps and move things out of the way, do that helicopter vantage point, all those kinds of things to get you where you want to go to. And so, get you there without telling you to do anything. So what I want to suggest is, why not try it? Those guys, talk to these guys who actually are getting coaching already and let them explain a little bit of the benefits. And if it is something that's actually, you know, awakened something, hopefully debunked something and given you a bit of information, then meet me at the back at the end of the roundup session and I'll show you how you can try it out for free. All right? Thanks for your time.